Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. Let's 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. First of the books Paul's written, or letters, some say the first. I'm going to read you about 9 verses, and we're going to go some places in the Bible tonight. We're in trouble. I have no notes to guide me with, so that's not good. 1 Thessalonians 5, if you found that, shout amen. Amen. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. I kind of find this funny. He writes unto them anyway. Yeah, I'm gonna write you a letter anyway. Yeah. I shouldn't need to, but I'm going to. For yourselves know perfectly that, here's what I'm talking about tonight, the day of the Lord. Yeah. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But if ye brethren are not in darkness, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. That's not going to take me as a thief. I mean, to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I hope you're looking, this is the Sunday night cream of the crop here, I hope you're looking for the Lord to come sometime tonight.
Amen.
Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That means right-minded. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Now, if I was a drunkard, that'd make me quit right there. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Now that is not a hope unseen, that's a hope for sure. For God, I love this verse. This is a great verse right here. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I love you. I thank you for the night, the time, the great songs, God, the Spirit that's spoken to my heart and my soul. I pray you'd help me now, fill my mouth, guard my tongue. Help me be accurate in the scripture. God, there might be someone here that's not ready for the church to depart. And God, I pray this might be the night that they would come and call upon the name of the Lord and be gloriously saved. Do you work through your preacher again, Lord? Use this piece of flesh one more time. I'll praise you for everything it's done. Ask it in my Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm interested in that phrase, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. I think maybe there's confusion about this. Turn with me over to Amos. Amos, that's everybody's favorite book. That's right in there with Leviticus and Chronicles. Flip over in there to Amos chapter number 5, and I'm going to read you some verses out of this. Starting in verse, see, the day of the Lord in the Old Testament is never in a positive context. I mean, it's perilous times he's speaking of. And what we see here is the children of Israel I preached it this morning. Gordon taught about it this morning. They're just like we are. And they just couldn't get lined out. They'd do good for a little while, and they'd fall off again. So when the Lord sent his prophets, now Amos is prophesying to the northern tribes of Israel right here, but he's prophesying in a time when, look here, there's a camel in every stall, there's lambs on everybody's hillside, they're doing good, they're all fat and sassy, they don't have a problem in the world. Jeroboam the second brings northern 10 tribes to its zenith, but after Amos prophesies, 50 years later, they're dispersed and taken into captivity. So that's not a very long period of time, 50 years. I know you kids are thinking 50 years is forever. You're going to wake up, you're going to be 30. You're going to blink, you're going to be 50. And then you're going to have kids, and they're going to have kids, and they're going to be gone. That is if Jesus tarry his coming. Verse 16 of Amos 5 says this, "Therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus." Now, I don't have time to get into all this. He's lamenting over Israel here, but and because of that, saith thus, "Wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light." In other words, when this day comes, the day he's speaking of here is judgment. When this day comes, listen, the Assyrians, he doesn't name them here, but the Assyrians are going to come in. They're going to impale them on poles. They're going to cut the mamas up and the babies in the street. I'm talking utterly, they're going to wipe them out, and they're going to take some of them captive. They're going to carry them off to work for them. And when he's given this prophecy, these people are thinking, there's no way this can happen. We got it made. We sit in America and think judgment won't come on us. We're not appointed to wrath, but the beginning of sorrows, I'm satisfied, started with COVID, and now it's just one thing after another. And I read something the other day. This guy said, they're cooking something up right now that'll make COVID look like a common cold. It's a bad time. It's darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. In other words, don't matter. You get away from one, something else gets you. Or went into the house and just leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? So, he's speaking of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord came. Listen, this is, you hear me say this often. There's near and there's far prophecy. Most every time, not all the time, but a whole lot of the time, Randy, there's the near prophecy and there's the far prophecy. The near prophecy on this is happening in 50 years. The far prophecy is that the day of the Lord's coming, and we're going to read about that in the New Testament. The day of the Lord's coming, the far prophecy. What is that? Well, from the time this was given till now, it's nearly 3,000 years. At least 2,500 from the time this is spoken till now. And say, well, that's a lot longer than a day. It's not to God. I'm going to read that scripture right now. Right there where I'm going. You're way ahead of me, Junior. So let's go. Let's go to 2 Peter. And let's go to chapter number 3. So many, and I had this discussion with someone not long ago. They kept saying, yeah, but the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. I said, son, the day of the Lord's not a 24-hour period. Do you understand that? He didn't understand it. I didn't explain it well enough, I don't think, because he left still not understanding. He said, we need to get back together. I said, we certainly do. Chapter 3 of 2 Peter. So we want to know then, what is the length of that? What's the day of the Lord? 2 Peter chapter number 3, let's go to about verse number 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. I mean, there's one thing I don't want you to be ignorant about. I mean, he could have listed a lot of things right there, but there's one thing I want you to know. Don't be ignorant about this. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. God done that for our benefit. He's outside of time. Space and time means nothing to an eternal God. But for our benefit, it's something we can understand. And we think, Brother Paul, that one day's a thousand, that's a long time. Glenda seen somebody that was 100, what'd you tell me, 100 years old today? I have no intention of living that long. Mark that down. I've seen 100, it's not that good. But she's lived a long time. And I hope she's able to got her mind and able to function. That's a tenth. I'm a poor math student, but I think that is of a thousand. Now we think that is forever. Sometimes I think 63 is forever. But it's 1,000 years is a day. So if that, we know that's true. Now let's get it all. The Lord's not slack concerning his promises or his promise, as some men count slackness. But his long-suffering to us were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But here we go. We read this. But the day of the Lord, Peter and Paul wrote a lot of, like, you know, similar things were similar. And then Peter even refers to Brother Paul in his writings. And so, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens and earth shall pass away with a great noise. We're thinking that's in one day. Well, it's at the end of the day, in my opinion. Would you agree with that? It's at the end of the day. I'm going to go to the beginning of the day in just a moment. Stay with me. Pass away the great noise, and the elements shall melt, fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, I hit this not too long ago. I'm trying not to be a broke record, but that's one thing we need to know. That this is the end of the day. Well, if there's an end of the day, there has to be a beginning of the day. Would you agree with that? So the day of the Lord coming early, the near in Amos and the judgments, not only on the northern 10 tribes, but on Judah also. There was a day of the Lord that come on them. Now, I'm not going to get into the weeks of Daniel and the 69, and it's been a postponement till the 70th could be fulfilled. And it's my personal opinion, that's in the church age. Where are we at now? Church age. I was reading some guy the other day. He said, yeah, and these bunch of people have been duped on this dispensation. I said, well, that's what Paul said about it. And he's the apostle to the Gentiles. So I think he's the dupe. He don't know what the book says. I got on dispensationalism here. If Paul hadn't written about it, I'd have never taught about it. We wouldn't have known. Paul wrote it in the book. Peter wrote this in the book. He read that there. He's written this there for our knowledge that we might, and he says it, grow in grace and knowledge. Lord Jesus Christ. So I my personal belief, this is the end of the day. They got to be a beginning of the day. Well, what would you think that the beginning of the day is? Well, I think it's in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter number 4 and verse 13. I think the day begins then. Has there been days of the Lord, Brother Junior? Sure there has. If we take this and go all the way back to the beginning of our book that we have, God gave us. And we go all the way back to the beginning of this book, and we believe and understand, according to the dating of Scripture, that we 6,000 years into this thing, approaching 7. Would you agree, Jim? Approaching 7. And I'm telling you, 7's God's number of completion and perfection. And then that's another message. But anyway, I better not take off down that road. It'd be hard to make a U-turn if I do. So we go to, I'm convinced that we are in the dispensation of grace. Amen. Is there anybody in here disagrees with that? I may get a red face on the camera. I don't care. That we are in the dispensation of grace. Now there's going to be a time when they start preaching the kingdom again. The kingdom was being preached when Jesus was here. He said, you're not far from the kingdom. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why was that? Because the king was here. But they didn't recognize him as the king. They crucified the king. So we go back, if I can find it in my book. Been good if I'd have marked that. We go to 1 Thessalonians 4, and I quote this all often preaching. You've heard it 1,000 times. And verse number 13, but it would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. People that die without Christ are hopeless. If this book's true, then that's true. They die hopeless. Die hopeless. Why would you die hopeless when the opportunity to be saved presents itself often? Now, we give an invitation every service. I've said this here before. But God doesn't give the draw every service. And when God, see, he sends an invitation. We give an invitation, but God sends an invitation. When that invitation is sent, friend, post haste, move. Don't wait around. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, does anybody in here believes that tonight? Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Praise God. Now look here. They're not asleep with Jesus. This thing's asleep in Jesus. And we put this thing in the ground. I preached about the flesh the other night. We put this thing in the ground. Our troubles, I'm telling you, one of these days, all the troubles buried. No more trouble. Buries the trouble. And the soul goes to be with the Lord. Who's that? That's the ones he's bringing with him. Why? Why would he bring them? Thank you, Jimmy. A+. Because when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Well, how is he? How was he after resurrection is the question. He was in the room. They're in the room without him. And poof, he's in the room. Now he's in the room with them. And he says, have you got anything to eat? And Jason Randolph and these guys that don't like any kind of fish or any of that stuff. It's the order of the day. We got broiled fish and honeycomb. Sign me up. My point is this. He appeared. He's in a body. He said, touch me and feel me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, such as ye see me have. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Here's how we say it. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Paul missed the day. You notice he said we there. I think Paul was thought in his lifetime, we which are alive, that maybe the coming of the Lord would be in his day. Good possibility. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, rapture's not in the Bible. I taught on that. You won't find that word in the book, but you find caught up. Now, you know what that means? Go up. Go up, caught up. Now, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in there, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We know this. We know this. I think the day begins. Now, a lot of things happening. Don't try to nail me down on how much trouble we're going to see. I think the beginning of sorrows, there's more sorrow than the church wants to think about today. I think you got sorrows coming. You never say, now I cry for my kids. They decorated Randy and my office door over here with hearts. There's a bunch of hearts on it. And the kids wrote hearts and taped them to our door. And then most of them kids are saved or are going to be. I'm claiming them for Christ. If they're not, they will be. I'm satisfied. You keep bringing them here. They're going to hear enough Jesus to one of these days, the Holy Ghost is going to come where they are, arrest them on the spot, and baptize them into the body of Christ. Just keep bringing them. Russell said it. Don't quit. But there's children out there that's unchurched, unaware. Moms and dads don't care. They don't know anything about this. And they think this is foolishness. The very thing that established this land, I don't care what these historian morons say, historical morons, I think's the right word, that say that none of this stuff that you read in Williamsburg is true, and they didn't come over and establish churches first thing. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. That's why they came, Randy. Freedom of religion. Not that they wouldn't have a government, but the government couldn't dictate where they went to church. So they come. And they come. Well, listen, they're not even teaching that in school anymore. I done a thing on the pilgrims here on one Thanksgiving Eve. One of my kids, I don't forget which one it was now. If you're the mom or dad, you'll know. They went the next day and straightened the teacher out. Said, that's not what the preacher said last night. Go ahead, kid, tell him. Yeah. The day begins. There's a lot of things happen in this day. It happens quick, Jimmy. But there's a lot of things. In this day, when this begins, I want you to think about this. Would it not make perfect sense? And by the way, sidebar, by the way, why would he call you up to bring you back and you not go anywhere?
Pour out wrath.
But, no, you missed my point. C minus. He gets an A plus all the time, C minus on that one. Still not failing, but you're down the ladder. So, look, you got me plumb off my train of thought. This is going to turn into the comedy hour. I got to get a hold of this. Help me, Jesus. Why would he? So, the sidebar is what got me off track. So we come, now we know, why would he take us up and bring us right back? We got to be going somewhere. He's not going to, he didn't just take me up so I could fly a little while. I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. Something going to happen. The day's going to continue, Marcus. More things about to happen. Can you imagine the grief and the turmoil? They think COVID was bad. Wait till the things from Revelation 6 to 21. Just start reading that and wait till the seals and the trumpets are sounded and the vials are poured out. And when you get to Revelation 16, I'm telling you, it's a bad day to be on the earth.
Amen.
I think I'm saved from the wrath to come, Tony.
Yes.
So why would he leave? Why would he want me to go? Listen, you think I'm going to let my bride go through the wrath? No. Do you think that he saved you to take you, put you through the wrath? No. That don't even make sense. It's not logical thinking, and it's a logical book. It's spiritual. It makes perfect. Let's get in it. The more I learn, the more sense it makes to me. So we have, and then we go. Now, a Jewish wedding is a week long. 7 days in a week, 7 years would make sense to me. There's a lot of things I've preached at on the Jewish wedding and the things that transpire in that. And we go to celebrate, and it can last, sometimes that lasts up to 3 weeks. We go to celebrate the wedding. But it's getting bad on the earth. It's bad. It's going to be like this. Listen to me. It's going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. God sent an angel after Lot. And he said, hey, let me go get the rest of the family. And I'm paraphrasing the story. But when he went to get them, he seemed like one that mocked to them. What are you talking about? He said, they're going to destroy this place. I ain't leaving. You better go. No. So him, his wife, and the two girls take off. She don't make the full journey. Her heart's still in Sodom. She looked back. That's a picture of what's going to transpire. And the wrath's going to come. And the wrath of God, what is that? I read it to you out of Amos. The day of the Lord. And it's going to be like you got away from the lion and then you met a bear. And then if you got away from the lion and the bear, you walk into the house, put your hand on the wall, the snake bites you. Some of you'd rather face a lion than get snake bit. The day continues. And within those 7 years, part of that day, there's going to be a time called the millennial reign of Christ upon this earth. If that's wrong, then Luke 1's wrong. You're going to have to tear Luke out. Luke 1, you're going to have to tear it out if Christ isn't going to have the throne of David. David never had a throne in heaven, had one here. And the angel promised Mary that this baby is going to sit on the throne of his father David. David being the father, as in the lineage, and God's the daddy. And now the time ticks on. Can you imagine? I thought about this today. Can you imagine all those? There's still going to be people alive. You understand that, don't you? It's going to be bad, but look here. They're going to be enough to want to fight God. Can you imagine the countless multitudes of saved individuals that's coming back with him? I mean, that's us, Junior. Whether I go by the grave or by the rapture, that period of tribulation is going to have to take place, the wrath of God, which the Christian, according to Scripture, is saved from. Then that has to take place. And within that 7 year period, we're still in that first day. Are you agreeing with me on that? The day's going to keep going till that 1,000 years is fulfilled. And at the end of the day, then the stuff melts and burns. There's a new heaven and a new earth. But can you imagine the scoffers? Let me use Putin for an illustration. So Putin's got the upper hand on Ukraine. He knew that or he'd never attacked them. And he knew that it's unlikely that the UN was going to come over there and intervene because Ukraine's not part of the UN. So he knew he had a little country over here that used to be part of his country and he wants it back because it's the breadbasket. It's where they grow all the grain. And he wants the food. I mean, say, well, what's that big deal? What if they took all your biscuits away? Yeah, all the bread's gone. Pat fixed lunch today. I said, I'm going to have to break down with no biscuits or rolls. Or no. I said, I'm going to have to break down and get a piece of, here's what we call it, light bread. I reached in there and got me one piece, trying to be good and not eat too much. He wants the bread. Then he says, say he's the enemy. What if all the multiplied millions of the entire earth rolled into Ukraine and started charging the border of Russia? I think they'd throw their weapons down and surrender. I mean, we're talking about numbers that's unmasked. That's the thing about China. They said if you kill 5 million, they send 5 million more. They don't run out of people. And there they are. Can you imagine? Now put that in your mind. When the armies of the Lord comes back. Man. And we don't even have to fight. And he's not like all the other generals sitting at headquarters and spitting out orders from headquarters telling them what to do. He's leading the pack. And he says this. Here's what my king says. Follow me. Just follow me. What about all them down there? I'm going to take care of them. Hey, there it is. He shows up, his vesture's dipped in blood, and out of his mouth's a sharp two-edged sword, and the armies of this world doesn't have a chance. And the army of God is behind him, just for long for the ride. And he takes care of all of it. After that, he sets up his throne. He reigns for 1,000 years. He's going to close out the day with a rod of iron. And in that, Pat talking about this today, she and I was, about judging the nations. She said, well, that's saved and lost. It is. And nations is made up of individuals. And in Matthew 25, you see him judging the nations. And there they are. And the ages continue. Seems like a long time to us. Look, when he puts us in a glorified body, won't be a long time. Be like a day. It's been a good day. God gave us a good day. Amen. Richard, I've eaten my full today. One piece of bread, but I still was full. It's been a good day. It's perfect weather. If you complain about this, you need to move to Alaska. Perfect day. God's given us a good day. But you know what? Day's come to an end. This day's come to an end, Randy. But there's a better day. There's a better day. It's on the horizon. It's going to last. It's going to begin. It's going to last. It'll have an end. Then there's an eternal day. Are you ready for that day? I can't wait till Colin is able to comprehend salvation. And I can lead him to the Lord. That's my priority in this life right now. It really is. Now I know I want all of you to have all your children be saved, your grandchildren. I want to see them all saved. I do. I burden greatly for this church. You don't even know. But I have great burden for here. And I want to see them saved. And I called your name to God that God would save you. But you're going to have to make a choice to be saved. I'm not one of these that believes God will just save you just because you don't have nothing to do. I believe it takes a conscience effort to be saved. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brenda, come play me some. a hope. You don't want to be here. You do not want to be here when the church leaves. And if you have heard the gospel more than three times, I'm going to tell you, friend, if you have any understanding at all, you are obligated to do something about it. Say, so I just don't feel like he's calling me. I'd come and pray till he did. The Bible said, if you seek, you'll find. I believe that. As we stand to our feet, Brendan starts to play something on the piano. If you don't know the Lord tonight, why would you not? Won't you come and say, hey, I want to get put in the family of God. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. It's that simple. You don't have to quote John 3:16. Just know you're lost. And know he'll save you. Why not? Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.